Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Take over, McConnell. Take over. He's crazy with power, this Bashir.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I had to wash him after.
The stickiness?
Yeah.
And James Strebel.
What's going on with you, Blank?
He's compromised. He's not a journalist anymore.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That was one of the wildest scenes, man. This beautiful crib. Every nook and cranny as they're panning the phone, every nook and cranny of the room, of the house, there was a different stripper.
Yes.
Twerking.
What a delightful sentence. Fantastic. Hey, welcome in. 5 o'clock hour coming up here on ESPN 680, 105.7 ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app. Another hour to go. Rick Bozich going to join us here in just a moment from WDRB. A little bonus hour. No. It's a Thursday. There's no bonus hour.
Oh.
A little Soccer City today.
Soccer talk.
Who are the three people on Soccer City?
Okay, Jeff Greer.
Okay, so you got the
Lance McGarvey.
Boom, boom.
What is her
Who
name?
Says he likes you? I'm not sure. I mean, some of the things you say, he can't like the takes.
I know. I appreciate it, though, Lance.
He's be nice to you.
He is. Is it Casey?
Come on.
Casey.
It is.
Casey West?
Man, that's close. Casey Whitfield.
Whitfield.
Oh, you
Whitfield.
Right there.
What did I get?
I thought you were. Hey, listen. Did you did a good
West?
Job there.
Yeah, and Jason Entz.
Who?
Jason Entz on the board.
Entz is acting like he's not down 30 units or whatever in betting right now. I
on
won
soccer.
Money yesterday.
On Europa League.
I won Europa. I won money.
He's turning into Locke.
Yeah, he is. I would have won big money if there would have been one more yellow card. Well, I'm like, yeah.
I
would have been, yeah, you lose on a, yeah, it's a bad beat. That's what this is all about.
Yep.
Texas says if Scat wants a better job or any job, he needs to win more than four damn games. Yeah. Texas says fake round daddy take Mac is number one. He was forced to fire his assistants. His bleep is on the Bunsen burner. And he capitalized Bunsen, who was the scientist who created the Bunsen burner. Was
That's
he not?
That's exactly right, yes.
Mitch, can you help me here? When are we having Bozich? Are you calling Bozich? I need to know, just so I know if I need to
kill
two
call
more
him
minutes
here
or not.
In a minute.
Okay. Well, just go ahead and call him now.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm talking about Bunsen burners.
I guess he wanted to listen to the conversation about Bunsen burners and not call Rick Bozich. I don't
By
know.
The way,
I was checking to see what my bets were doing.
We need to get your updated bets on the Masters and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm also having an issue, and I need to I don't want to call Spectrum.
Oh, I know.
My CBS Sports Network and MLB Network are not working.
It wasn't working for me
so
the other day.
So do they move this to some new damn package or something?
No, because
I mean, I'm paying way too much as it is.
It was not working, and then, like, an hour later, it was working
again.
Well,
mine hasn't worked for a number of days.
Oh, a number of days. Okay. But I had the same issue, but it started working later in the day. So,
well, I'm not so lucky. This
yeah.
is not good.
Yeah, that's not good. They probably
this is
did.
Not good.
But don't they have, like, at least on my Spectrum, it has it where, if like, it'll let you watch a few minutes of the channel you don't have, and then they'll shut it off yep. and be like, do you want to upgrade?
Do you want to upgrade for $5.99 or whatever it is?
Yeah, so I don't think it's an upgrade issue. I think it's just a Spectrum issue. Call Locke.
Yeah, he's not going to help at
no,
all.
No, he's not.
I can tell you.
He's
just going to be bashing Kentucky.
Yeah.
Rick Bozich joins us here on this Thursday. Rick, it's the first time we've talked to you, not only since the Final Four national title game, and, you know, Mike Woodson's been getting it done, but since you became Twitter famous for your not wanting to watch Miley Cyrus. Good afternoon, Rick. you're famous.
Yeah. Did you like that performance?
I mean, part of me did because I like Miley Cyrus and the gyrating and all the other things. But I was also deep into bourbon, Rick. So at that point, I didn't even know the game was really that good until halfway through the second half. I thought Pat Forte lost his mind thinking it was Kentucky and Duke from the 90s or whatever. So, I mean, no, but then you went to baseball. Barstool Sports picked up on it. I mean, you made some rounds. You must have been the talk at Easter lunch, the Bozich household.
You know, I can play the get off my lawn role pretty well.
Yes.
And I didn't see the beginning of it, and then I turned it on, and I said, who is that? And then I figured out who it was, and it was like, this isn't even very good. And what does this have to do with the Final Four? And then the point I should have made that I didn't make was, I mean, how many of the players that are playing in the game, it's not the music that they play. But if you're going to do that, at least put music on that appeals to the people that are performing in the event.
Yeah, but you can't.
So weird.
But you can't, probably because of, you know, explicit lyrics. Yeah, what I thought to be the funniest was, now Pat Forte was there, and Pat said they were all herded into a room to do a Zoom, so he didn't get to see the performance. I was laughing that Miley Cyrus was performing, of course, for the television audience, but at the arena was only performing for parents and sports writers. That's all that she was, and that was funny, right? Like, Hoops Weiss and Jeff Goodman sitting next to each other with Pat Forte watching Miley Cyrus is funny. That is funny.
I was proud of myself that I figured out who it was.
Because it took me a few minutes.
I was like, this. I almost tweeted Stevie Nicks isn't walking through that door. Linda Ronstadt's not walking through that door, but I didn't.
Shut up.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. So everyone was like, you got Bozich. Barstool Sports picked up on it. Everyone was loving that. Rick Bozich, WDRB. I guess let's start there. What did you make of the end of the college basketball season? Baylor dominating, and Gonzaga played, you know, not their two best games once they got to the Final Four there in Indianapolis. Of course, I guess they were always in Indianapolis.
I mean,
you're
ahead of the curve. I generally associate you with one of the primary Gonzaga skeptics, and I have been a Gonzaga skeptic at times, but this year I got sucked into it, I guess, mm-hmm. by, you know, some of the games they won in the pre-conference. But I mean, all credit to Baylor. They played great. They were fun to watch. They were so – everybody talks about their shot making. They were so good on defense where they kind of dictated. They made Gonzaga look uncomfortable and out of rhythm. But the second best story – I mean, Gonzaga was not as good as we thought they were. I mean, they were very lucky to beat UCLA, and they got – I got really tired of Rafferty and those guys saying, well, that game took too much out of them. Like, no, Baylor's better. I mean, just say what – Baylor's better. Give credit to Baylor.
Why do you think the – and listen, my point has always been with the Zags. Not, I mean, there was mean and ugly, they're frauds and everything, and I don't feel that way. My issue really was many of the teams before this year. I mean, this year there was no doubt they were a one seed. They were the overall number one. Suggs made it different, and then you combine that with, you know, the moves that they're making in recruiting, and it's not just, hey, they got – like, Timmy is a Gonzaga player. He's a really good college player, but he's not an NBA player. But then they're starting to get guys, and Suggs no doubt is one of those guys that is. And so even my mind was like, okay, this is going to be really damn difficult to beat. And plus, I don't know how many people were thinking that Baylor and Scott Drew were actually going to be able to beat them, right? I mean, come on, we all kind of had that, some small percentage in the back of their mind. My issue has always been, you know, they haven't won all those games in the non-con, and then they get to the conference, and we know what that is. And so maybe their seeding has been inflated years. That's kind of my take, and I am skeptical. But even me, I was stunned that Baylor not only made them uncomfortable, but made them uncomfortable in the first minute of the game, Rick, and Gonzaga knew it. I mean, you're watching that game, and they knew it. And that to me was shocking, that they win going away and dominate, you know, really 98% of that game. What do you think it does for Scott Drew and Baylor? What do you think it does for them?
it gives them a – I don't think anybody will ever look at them as a fluke champion. I mean, they're a legit champion. It's the first time, obviously, they've won the championship, first time they've been to the Final Four in a long time. And, there was some skepticism because they're not a brand name in basketball, but if you watch the game and the way they did it, I mean, Houston was a good, very good, tough team, and they took them apart. I mean, they took them apart in a way that I didn't think that they could. And then, you know, as you mentioned, they came out against Gonzaga, and the game was basically over after like 2 minutes. It was like, yeah, I mean, Gonzaga can make a run, but Baylor ain't going to let that happen. This game's going to be played the way Baylor wants to play it on both ends of the court. And I never felt like Gonzaga was going to get back into the game. And then the lead kept getting bigger and bigger, and they got what down to what, 10 maybe? I don't know, second half.
I think they got it down to 8 or 9 in the second half, but it was 10 at halftime, right. And there was some momentum. I mean, I did think
and
there was going
Baylor
to be a
back
run.
To back threes.
Yep.
Baylor hit
yep.
back to back threes, I think, and it went right back up to 14. And it was like, they're better. They're the best team. And it just bothered me, I guess, that CBS seemed intent on making it about Gonzaga instead of about Baylor. And I thought that was unfair to Baylor. And you know, the thing about Baylor was, early in the year, I think a lot of people viewed those two teams as kind of equal. And then after Baylor had the COVID issues and they lost a couple of games, it all became about Gonzaga and their quest to be undefeated and win their first national title and all those different storylines. And they've got, you know, 2 first-round draft picks and maybe 3 of the top 20 players in the game, and that might be true, but Baylor was better. I mean, and Baylor played a fun style of basketball to watch. The way the shooting is one thing, but the way they moved the ball and found openings and, you know, and really did play good team basketball is like, I think that needs to be saluted.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I don't know how to ask this. I sound like a Kentucky fan. A mean and ugly Kentucky fan when I say this. Billis does his top 10 coaching list of the last, like, 60 years, and Mark Few's number 10. And he's not number 10, Rick. He's not. He built the Zags, but he's not as good of a coach as Patino or Crum. I hate to say it. He's not as good of a coach. I take Jay Wright over him.
Right.
I mean, there have been many years I would take Bill Self over him. I mean, Bill Self's in some bleep now, obviously. We get that. The infatuation with this guy, and I mean, his team got thoroughly outplayed in the Final Four, and I know if Calipari would have had that, what the talk would have been, right? Or a number of other coaches. I just the national college basketball media loves Mark Few. He's a really good coach. He's a super good guy. And he's built that a fun program. But I mean, come on, enough slobbering on Mark Few. That's how I feel, and it's a mean and ugly take, and I know it's a mean and ugly take, and I don't want to have it, but it's what's in my bones, Rick. I'm sorry.
He's kind of a sacred cow, and I don't
he
know
is.
Why that is. He's a genial guy. He's done a great job at a place that we really haven't heard of, other than the fact that John Stockton played there in the 80s, and then you know, I think they had one good year under Monson before he took over, and they've been consistent, but it's like, If a lot of other coaches would have flamed out the way that this team flamed out the Final Four, they'd be getting skewered mm-hmm. in the way Tony Bennett did after they lost
yes.
to UMBC. Yeah. But this guy, he's getting the pass. I agree. I think he's been let off easy for whatever reason, and I agree with you. I mean, he wasn't up to the challenge this weekend, and I'm not sure when he's going to have a better chance. I'm not saying they're never going to win one. They might.
Oh, sure.
Because now aren't they in that big 7-foot guy from Minneapolis? Holmgren?
Yeah.
Isn't Gonzaga now? I mean,
yeah.
he's
Chet
changed
Holmgren.
The perception. They're now like shopping at the same, you know, the high-end stores that a lot of the top programs are by getting these top 10 recruits and 1-10, 1-and-done guys. And if that ends up being the case, then he needs to be judged the same way other coaches who are getting those kind of guys get judged.
Yeah, I mean, got Hunter Salas, who Kentucky thought they you know might have had,
right.
had a chance at. Chet Holmgren is up there. No, there's no doubt he's getting one and done type talent. He is swimming in the big waters. And by the way, that's why Kentucky fans don't like Mark Few all of a sudden, is because he's getting some of their stuff. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Those guys are supposed to think of Kentucky and maybe Duke or something, and the Zags are right there. Like, I'm not trying to just be a hater. I'm saying what you're saying is, hey, let's just treat some of these guys roughly the same. Rick Bozich with us from WDRB. We're a couple weeks in now to the Mike Woodson experience. Pretty good. Not too bad. Indiana fans are happy for the most part. It's been a few years since they've been happy. What do you make of him convincing? I guess, I mean, since we've talked to you last, Rick, everyone's come back, right? Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson and a number of guys. What do you make of what he's done now 2 weeks on the job?
Well, I would make of it that Gary Parrish was wrong about Indiana spending $10 million to run the program into the ground and have all the players driven away. So I don't know if he's written that yet, but he wrote it the other way. And it's hard for Mike Woodson to have done more than he's already done. And I guess what I'd say is that I think it was 4 weeks ago tonight was when they played Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament and got booed off the floor and lost their seventh straight game. And it was pretty much universal gloom around Indiana basketball. And in 4 weeks, he's kind of changed the mood around it to some optimism. And with Trace Jackson Davis coming back and adding the transfer from Pitt, and everybody's back, I think, now except for Armand Franklin, that it's not crazy to say that, you know, they should make the NCAA tournament next year. They're going to have most of the team back and, you know, a lot of other losses in the Big Ten. And plus, you throw in the fact that two other people who are on the staff or in the administration are Dane Fife and Thad Matta. That's got three guys on the staff who were considered candidates to be the head coach. So it's pretty interesting.
You mentioned Dane Fife, and Rick Bozich with us here on the Take on ESPN 680. You mentioned Dane Fife. It made me think of another white basketball player who had a crew cut at one point from Indiana. I did get tired of seeing the Kyle Hornsby on the NCAA commercial over and over again. What is he, an optometrist? Is he a doctor of some kind,
no,
isn't he?
He's either an orthopedic surgeon or a heart surgeon.
Of course he is. Yeah, of course he is. Andy had the best crew cut. He had the best Carmel, Indiana crew cut that a man could have when he was 20 years old. He did. Go ahead.
The only commercial that I got more tired of was the Coke commercial with the Halloween people dressed up like Halloween. Nobody could explain. I couldn't understand it when I threw that out on Twitter. Nobody could explain to me like what was the point of that commercial. You know what I'm talking about? Where the werewolf in the convenience store.
Yeah, the werewolf girl.
Dressed up like, you know, the Addams Family or the Munsters people. And it's like, what are you trying to, what's the hook here to get me to buy a Coke? Whatever happened to a Coke, Coke and a smile or whatever, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, she was a werewolf and the cashier was like what are they? Were they half man, half horse?
Is it centaur?
Centaur. Yeah, it's like a centaur. Yeah, a centaur. You know, werewolf girl and a centaur. I'm with you, Rick. I didn't get that either.
Bozich is in hell. He's got Miley Cyrus. He's got centaurs. He's got baseball that's good, sometimes bad. He's a mess right now. Rick Bozich with us. Devin, ask you, Josh Nickleberry, they both leave. I mean, I think both programs feel like they will do better here. You know, adding a couple more guys. But I guess, you know, for Nickleberry, you know, that's four of the Super Six now are gone. Only Jalen Withers and Sam Williamson. And I think Devin Askew on the Kentucky side was going to be their last guard. Whether they had one more or two more guards, I think Devin Askew was going to be at the bottom of that list. A lot has changed here in the last few weeks. I guess, what do you make of those two guys moving away and moving from their respective programs?
So four guys in that recruiting class that Nickleberry was in are gone? I didn't realize that many.
Yeah, you have. It's what is it, Mitch? It's only three right now. I think some people think that Quinn Slezinski may leave.
Wasn't Johnson part of that group though? He's not out yet for sure, right?
Who's that?
Is Johnson out for sure?
Well,
David Johnson.
People don't think he's
going to go to the NBA. He's not showing up in the first round
none of
any draft boards anymore.
Rick, we talked about that in hour number one because it goes back to who gets blame and who doesn't get blame when it comes down to those sorts of things. The assumption is that he's gone. That's the assumption that I'm working under, at least.
The thing about Nickelberry is, wasn't Nickelberry the first guy to commit?
He was.
Well, he was.
He was.
He was like the ringleader who talked some other guys into coming and was very active on social media and trying to get other guys to come to Max First Class. So that's disappointing to see a guy like that come and leave. And he never really – and last year he didn't play hardly at all. And this year he played some and was inconsistent and was hurt.
Nine games. He showed up in only nine games. That's it.
Wow, I thought it was a little bit more than that. You know, and he looked like he was sort of a one-trick pony who was a shooter who really never really got it going as a shooter consistently. And for Kentucky, I guess I feel empathy for Devin Askew because he reclassified, came here a year early. Wasn't his fault that he wasn't ready for the moment. I mean, I'm sure they thought that he was, and he thought he was, but he wasn't. And he was a guy who took a lot of the criticism, I think, for the way Kentucky's season went. And, you know, he was who he was. I don't feel like he underperformed. I feel like he played hard and did everything he could, but just wasn't good enough. And you know, I hope he goes and finds another spot, and he can take solace in that there's a lot of guys who – have moved on and it worked out for him better, but I have a little bit of sympathy for him because, you know, he doing that reclassifying thing, especially for point guards, is hard. And we've seen a lot of them try to do that and not work out. And I think it should be noted by other young players that I'm not so sure that works.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And then, you know, Sky Clark, who is staying in the 2022 class, he was one name that, you know, Kentucky fans thought, well, might he reclassify. But, you know, I don't think it really worked out for Ashton Hagans. It didn't work out for Devin Askew. It did not work out for Christian Lander, right? I mean, Lander was on a bad team and couldn't play until the end of the year almost.
And he looked bad. When he did play, he looked like he wasn't physically strong enough. He couldn't make shots. He couldn't defend at all. What was that? There was a kid that went to Duke a few years ago, Derek Thornton, I think it was, who reclassified and went to Duke, and he left after a year, and like he never did anything anywhere after that. So I mean, that's a big ask, I think, and I don't think it's a good idea.
So I mean, you've been around. I'm sure this is something you're thinking about writing. All these NBA mock drafts come out. Only a couple of them have David Johnson, and those are in the second round. So what do we do with that? We know the mock drafts aren't everything. I don't know what they mean. You know, we can have that argument, but you see that, and the narrative is that this guy's going to be gone. There's no doubt the style of play. Maybe he got better, maybe not as good as we thought he was going to be. So when you see something like that, what comes to your mind?
That's a really tough one for me to evaluate because I think he does have NBA ability, and we've talked about this several times since the end of the season that a part of me wonders whether, you know, the advancement, the featuring of Carly Jones, that part of the price of that was, you know, a setback for David Johnson. That I thought going into the season this was going to be David Johnson's team, that David Johnson was really going to step forward and be maybe one of the top 10 players in the ACC and be a guy who was, like, constantly making plays and shown the ability to shoot and score in all three ways, drive, shoot, and even a mid-range game. And we did see what he was able to do on defense. But it seemed like Louisville was so oriented towards Carly Jones that it came at David Johnson's expense.
That's exactly what Strebel said.
We share the same thing, Rick.
It's almost word for word. I just never know who to give. Like, everyone... You know, like Tyler Hero a couple years ago got a lot better during the season, defensively, shooting.
Right.
And everyone was like, you know, and Kentucky was supporting it. You know, you go there and you this is how you can develop and everything like that. I'm like, well, we can also give Tyler Hero credit for working his ass off and being tougher and doing all. Like, we can give credit all around. And so, like, I also don't give always blame. Like, I don't blame Cal that – Reed Travis isn't an NBA player, or Olivier Saar is not an NBA player.
Right.
And there's guys with Chris Mack in Louisville along the way we've done that. But I don't know. Carly Jones was really good. I just think the style killed him, Rick. I think he needed to play more of the Kentucky style or a North Carolina style or something. He needed to be an up and down type style. Instead, Louisville just had a stagnant offense other than Carly Jones lots of times. So I guess in the end, you know, the Carly Jones thing was supposed to help David Johnson. And I guess in the end, it did not help David Johnson. I guess that's where we are.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think what you're saying is David Johnson would be a more effective player in a more up-tempo offense where his athleticism and his physicality would be things that he could take advantage of, and that wasn't really the case in the way things worked out for Louisville this year. But I just thought that Jones, and I'm not – he is who he was. He's such a ball-dominant guy, you know, in terms of, you know, pounding the ball and shooting and everything, that I think it was tough for David Johnson to learn to adjust the playoff that. And that's just my take. I'm not a coach, but I just thought it just seemed everything started with Carly Jones this year, and it never really got going for David Johnson.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be the best backcourt in the ACC. And I don't know what all the numbers bear out, but obviously you don't make the NCAA tournament. Rick Bozich with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. What do you make of Sean Miller being fired?
Why now?
That's what I'm saying.
At least they had the nerve to say it wasn't because of the NCAA thing. It was because he didn't win enough games.
Well, yeah. Okay. His buyout went down, and he didn't win games in the last good team he had. What was it, 2016-17? Yeah. They choked in the NCAA tournament. No, if they wanted to fire him for that, they could have done that any time in the last 3.5 years.
I mean, the dude burned through a lot of talent without ever getting to the Final Four, man. A lot of talent. I mean, there was a while. There were a few years there where they were getting, like, five recruiting classes?
Well, no, I mean, they were the best. I mean, they were one of the best or one of the best teams going into the tournament. And you know this, Rick, there was like a 5-year stretch where Kentucky fans were like, if Cal leaves and goes to the NBA, we'll hire Sean Miller.
Sir. Yes, sir. He was the top of the list. I was talking to somebody about that yesterday, saying, yeah, in 17 or 18, that if Cal goes to the NBA, Sean Miller's the automatic guy. They're connected through Pittsburgh. They're friends with each other. He's recruiting the same type of players. Yeah, he hasn't got to the Final Four yet, but he will, and he's the guy. So he's no longer the guy. You can take him off the list. And I don't know who the guy is. Who is the guy now?
I mean, Holman? Rick, I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe, I don't know, Mark Pope? I mean, I say that. Oh. I don't know. Mark Pope. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Kenny Payne?
Maybe. I don't know. Kenny Payne, you know, I think he thought maybe, hey, I can get that DePaul job, which he could get the DePaul job. But then Mike Woodson.
Down.
Well, then Mike Woodson left. And it's like, okay, are the Knicks going to let both their, you know, assistant coaches leave? Plus, I would imagine Kenny Payne got a bump on that staff. Now he's the number one assistant on the Knicks. And, you know, DePaul could go to about $1.5 million or so. I mean, hell. I mean, you know, Kenny Payne can make that being an assistant coach. But I'm with you. Does he want to be a head coach? You know, eventually got to take a job of some kind. But I have absolutely no idea. I'm saying Mark Pope, and I've seen Mark Pope actually coach like 6 games my entire life. So, yeah, that's all that I have. I have no idea.
You're going to have the right personnel, because not only are you going to have to deal with the pressure and the expectations, you're going to have to deal with following a guy who got all these great players in there. And, you know, he won one title, and what, they've been to like 4 Final Fours? I think that's right. And Pete, the first time he comes in and recruits a Wukosh Orbzoot or a, you know, Gerald Fitch or something, people are going to say, hey, what's going on here? And so there's going to be some coaches that are going to think twice about going in there, such that they have a good gig now where they're making $3 million with minimum pressure. I mean, like Nate Oates, I guess, would be a guy that a lot of people would say, yeah, Nate Oates will do it. But I mean, you got to have the right mindset to say, I'm not going to be intimidated by the comparisons to who you're following.
By the way, this is for both Rick Bozich and young Mitchell Hannigan back at the station. The Cubs won today 4-2. Just so you know, the Cubs, the crap Pirates, who the Reds.
Let's quit pretending that's a good win.
Yeah.
I'm waiting at a rain delay. Home opener's being rain delay right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. How are the – what are your – give me a Bozich takeaway on the baseball season.
Very disappointed. 3-4. Played terrible the first week. Not happy.
Not happy. Okay. Well, no. Mitch went to the Reds and Cardinals over the weekend, and his team got beat down. He's a Cardinals fan, and he didn't think of putting sunscreen on, so he got a top five worst sunscreen or sunburn in his entire life, and his team lost. But he won a couple bets to even it out, so that's how his baseball. He's battling Reds fans right now. The Reds, the hottest team in baseball, Mitch. 5-1. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
5-1. It's too bad they have a day off.
Yeah.
They'd be 6-1.
We'll see what they do against the Diamondbacks.
You guys need to help me out. Give me the names of a couple Miley Cyrus songs that I can listen to sort of indoctrinate myself.
Party in the USA.
Because yeah. I read she did covers of, like, other bands. That's what the performance was. Queen and somebody else.
Blondie.
Blondie and Queen. Like, do your own stuff, man. If you're not even doing your own material.
I don't know. Yeah, just rip her, Rick. I mean, that's right. I got nothing for you. Yeah, just go to your Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, whatever you have, and load it up. I don't know.
Do Party in the USA and Wrecking Ball. Start off with those two. See where that takes
Wrecking
you.
Ball.
Wrecking
okay.
Ball.
Oh, you've heard the Wrecking Ball. There's no doubt about it, Rick. You've heard some of these at games or just living life. I think Rick will like this. You'll like this, Rick. So we started the show, and we'll let Rick go here in a second. Strebel being on the program here, James Strebel is starting to be known out at the New Albany Little League field since he's on AM Sports Talk Radio. And a lot of people bring up to him, hey, do you know Zach McCrite?
Yeah.
So it's him and Big Easy out there, Rick, at the New Albany fields.
Yeah. Big Easy's a star, Rick.
He's a star.
Big Easy's a star out there?
Oh, yeah.
Still, yeah.
Oh, yeah. If people come up, they'll talk to me like, hey, I heard you on the radio, blah, blah. They'll be like, how's Zach McCrite doing? You know Big Easy? That's
yeah,
the second
question. I mean, Rick, when you pay $10 million to get rid of Archie Miller, people tend to like you in Southern Indiana. I don't know what to tell you. When you foot the bill for Mike Woodson and that goatee, and you get Race Thompson to come back for another year. You know, this is what it's all about, you know.
Heavy stuff.
That is a phenomenal Little League complex to have. Isn't it like 2 or 3 years old?
Oh, yeah. This is our third year there, and I have two sons that play in it, and they both play on travel teams as well.
Yeah, Strebel's already teaching his son a curveball at 9 years old, and we got steroids. He's going to meet someone in Miami who's not a doctor, Rick, for some cream. You know, it's called the Manny Ramirez. I don't know what's going on with Strebel right now, and it's hard for me to find out.
Just don't do the preemptive Tommy John that I've read some of these kids are getting. They're getting Tommy John before they need Tommy John, so their elbows they can throw even harder when they're in high school.
Yeah, he's right, Andy. They do that. Yeah,
I'm sure they do. What a crappy thing, a preemptive Tommy John. Just what a sad thing. Rick, take care. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rick Bozich with us here from WDRB. There you go.
Good stuff. Yeah, he's exactly right about that preemptive Tommy John. I don't know anyone that's done that, but it's kind of like the dirty little secret around Little Leagues and travel balls. Like, go ahead, just do that Tommy John surgery.
Aren't you a scummy doctor to do that?
Yeah, you'd have to be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but insurance isn't going to cover that.
I don't know. I don't know
how
it happens.
How do you afford that? Tommy John, I mean, that's like how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of a surgery is that?
People are crazy about youth sports, man. They think that their kid is going to be a star. They'll spend that money.
I once sent Vanetti, I tweeted, this is years ago, he tweeted out some feeder system, probably Trinity.
Of course, yes.
And it was all white kids. I go, I guess the diversity catches up when you get to high school.
Oh.
He's like, you can't say that. These parents are nuts. Like, all right, well, what am I supposed to do?
I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah.
I'm making an observation.
Oh, goodness.
Gosh, Vanetti. Those parents
are nuts. I know they are.
They are. It's...
Well, yeah, they want their kids to be millionaires.
Ooh. Yeah, well, they want their
Do you want Calvin to be great or not? Man up.
I want him to be
happy. You want some cream?
No, I want him to be
happy. You want some cream? Want some Manny? I'll get you something.
I don't need no.
What do you want? You want testosterone?
What did Mark McGuire?
I'll get you some testosterone.
Andro.
You want some Andro?
Andro cream or
Mitch,
whatever he
get
had.
Get some Andro. No, get some Andro. I want it in the office tomorrow.
He's already starting to like. He doesn't need it.
Is he going to lift weights?
His voice.
Lifting weights, right?
No. His voice is starting to crack.
Nice.
He's starting to. Yeah. The teenage years are going to hit earlier than with him than some. It's already happening.
Morikawa just bogeyed. Plus one now.
Well, didn't you bet against Morikawa?
No, I love him. I think that's the guy.
Wait, you've been bashing all these players. Oh, everyone's taking Morikawa.
Yeah, that's why I took him. So that's why I took him. And I'm saying, since everyone took him, he's probably going to finish like 67th now.
Good. I hope he does. Just for you,
he's plus one. He's doing all right.
But do you have him today, or do you have him in the tournament?
I have him to finish above 21st and to win the tournament.
Above 21st, boy, that's going out on a limb. That's a lock bet right
there.
Some,
this is just some prop bet.
I know. I don't have a dollar right now on this. Not a dollar on the Masters.
You didn't do the Lachlan McClain,
nope.
ETI.
I told him no.
Golf
draft. I told him I can't do it. Nick Valvano was like, I want to be involved. I text BTI. I go,
Nick would select all Italians.
I go.
It'll be Molinari first pick, and that's the only Italian golfer I know.
I did see that there was a gentleman named Cooper. Is that Cooper Hassan?
Yeah.
Is it Cooper? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's Hassan.
Okay. Yeah, it's Cooper and Braden, the former intern.
Okay, I thought it might have been Cooper, but I wasn't sure. I didn't know while he's in Greece if he was keeping up with it. But
yeah, he's living his life. He's just in Greece.
Is it Greece?
He's trolling on IG models. He's playing Call of Duty.
And he's hanging out with Locke.
He's harassing Louisville fans. Yeah, he's doing the exact thing.
It made me smile to see Cooper's name on there. I was like, yeah.
Let's take a break. We wrap up the show. It's a Thursday. It's The Take. It's ESPN 680. All right, guys, they're on call 24/7, and they can help you if you have any issue. And right now, you're going to be popping on that AC. If you have any issues at all or just need the regular maintenance, it's BJ Heating and Cooling. That's who we trust here on The Take on ESPN 680. 812-283-7221 is the phone number there. And if you have that room that's difficult to cool down or heat up, depending on the season, the Bryant Mini Split is a quiet and efficient way to cool down that room without reworking your entire ductwork system. And right now, BJ Heating and Cooling, they're your local factory authorized Bryant dealer. They've teamed up with Bryant Ductless Equipment. Again, they've been around since 1984. Upfront pricing, free estimates, whether it be for your home or business, they are here to help control that temperature in your home. 812-283-7221. It's BJ Heating and Cooling, bjheatcool.com.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Mac needs to take Blank to Keeneland.
Keeneland. He goes, and he'll
You're
come
exactly
on.
Exactly right.
You know, Mac, actually, people love him.
Pegues is a star.
Pegues is great.
It was Luke Murray's fault. It was Luke and Dino's fault.
It was Luke and Dino's fault and Ada Gahan, and they're gone.
And James Strebel.
Chris Mack's the greatest. That's all he needs to do. Just go to Keeneland with Mark Blankenbaker. He will come, and he'll take all of your water, all the gallons of water on his back. And he'll carry it up Mount Everest for you.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, hanging out another 20 minutes or so. We have a Masters update coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. If you're looking to improve your TV, your home theater experience, you can trust who I trust, to the station, who your boy Double D, Drew Diener, RGB Home Theaters. Find them online right now, rgbhometheaters.com. They'll price match the big box stores, but not only TVs and those sorts of things, hooking you up with the best gear. Yeah, they got that. But finding exactly how your living room or man cave, they can build those out, by the way, but finding the best way to match all the video and sound and everything else, go to the website right now, rgbhometheaters.com, to see some of the work they've done. And that's who we trust here at ESPN Louisville. Mitch, how do your other bets look today in the Masters?
So my best one so far, I think, is still Morikawa to win. He's at plus one. I also have Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, I have no idea how you pronounce his last name, and Dustin Johnson. They're all like plus two, plus three. So need to step it up here, some boys.
Okay.
Justin Rose is leading. He's six under, but doesn't Justin Rose always choke?
I don't know. I like Justin Rose. Who had that and didn't? Locke didn't have him, did he? We got to find out if Locke had him.
So Rory is a plus four.
Rory. Yeah, Rory. Rory's a bum. Yeah, he's a bum. I mean, we already know that. I mean, come on. What do you want from me?
They crowned him early.
Dan Issel told this story today. You'll like this.
I like Dan Issel's story.
I'm sure
yeah.
you do. He said when he was the coach there at Denver, mm-hmm. his son brought his new girlfriend to the game, which is exactly what you do, right?
Absolutely, primo seats.
I mean, you better believe it,
yeah.
okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only time that Issel said he got tossed from the game.
Oh.
And he says, like, son didn't want to bring dates anymore there. And I'm like, how great would that be?
yeah.
Dan Issel's your son. How great's that?
Yeah, it would be fantastic.
You go to a Nuggets game.
Yeah,
like, your first date would be Texas Roadhouse, Cerebral. I mean, you,
yeah,
you
yeah.
look like... No, and that would be very good.
My first...
You're a dinner and a movie guy. I already know
Man,
that.
You know,
you're dinner and a movie.
That's exactly the very first date
it's
I ever
so
went
missionary.
On.
That's what
was,
you are.
Yeah.
I know it is.
Yeah.
You have to tell me.
It was Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp. I was a
with your wife?
No. This
oh, just ever.
I was first date ever.
Sleepy Hollow. Was that the one with the was it Ricci who was married to Marilyn Manson?
Christine
Reese.
She was not.
She wasn't in
that
one?
No, she was in that movie, but
okay.
she was not affiliated with Marilyn Manson.
Not then.
I don't think she ever was.
She dated Marilyn Manson.
I don't think Christina Ricci did. I know Rose McGowan did.
Oh, am I getting them mixed up?
I think you're getting Christina Ricci and Rose McGowan mixed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you said that. I would have went all in.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, no, you're not right.
Yeah,
There's no way you're right.
But we went and saw that, and then we went to Steak and Shake after. When I was in high school, that was my first date. Yeah, it's high school. I didn't have any money. I you know.
Mitch, if you go on a date this summer, are you going to tell us?
Ooh.
This is a great question.
It is a great question.
Well,
probably not.
Oh, come on. That's content. You're telling me? Come on. Streeple gives you everything about his life every day.
Every time we go on dates, I tell you all.
I think I would have to date someone for a little bit before I brought it up on the show. Because the text line's terrorists. Our listeners are terrorists.
It is, but the show is all you have.
Yeah.
The show is your move.
Yeah. I mean, you tell her, I talk about you on the radio.
You're on the radio.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to that early on. What else are you going to leave
with? It would be something I would ask Patty Ice and Nick's advice for, like, when they first brought up, like, when Patty Ice first brought up Hannah on his show. Because now, whenever Pat hosts a show, like, you get people, like, to sound, hey, what's Hannah's Instagram? I don't want that.
It's part of the deal, man. I mean,
I don't know what to tell you.
I get
called a, you know, nobody likes you, your ratings suck, you're fat. That's mine because I called Dalton Pence out. That's what I got today.
Yeah, he had all kinds
Okay, that's what I got today, bitch. that's what you have to deal with.
It would really just depend on the situation. Like, if they're cool with it, then yeah, I'd bring it up.
Well, I don't know. I think I kind of thought on you should talk about it with us so we could give you some pointers and some help.
See, now the text line's just being mean. That's what they do. Is they're mean.
People,
they're terrorists.
There's nothing I'm looking at. There's nothing that's mean. I mean, there's Round Daddy's his son's voice is cracking. When's yours going to crack? Like,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah, then,
that's not bad.
When people search out, like, pictures of my wife, why is she married to a flat, fat slob like you? You know, things like that.
Yeah, but
you guys
have been married for years. It's not like you've, like, just been recently dating.
Texas says, I don't want do that. Texas says, I don't want that. Texas says, Strebel even tells us about his 6-inch sirloin.
That's really good.
Oh, guys, go back to the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com. The ESPN Louisville app, you can find it. It's not iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We have talked a bunch about Josh Nickleberry today. Actually,
yeah.
I don't know about a bunch, but it always comes down, you know, so much of that, half of that class is gone. What will someone like Quinn Slezinski do? We believe that Louisville's adding a couple more pieces.
I mean,
we already know they're adding a couple more pieces, and now another one has opened up, quite frankly, with Nickleberry. So we've talked a lot about that, obviously.
David Johnson.
The discussion there. He is just flat not showing up in many mock drafts. I reached out to Jonathan Wasserman of the Bleacher Report. Going to try to hook up and have him on next week on the show. I mean, some of that might be. He hasn't officially declared. People are feeling that he might be a 50-50 guy. Mm-hmm. We around here just feel that he's gone.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, not being in some of these mock drafts, we feel that as well. So, Mitch, I don't know if you're telling us in our ear. Okay,
it's in the
so
air. I just
say it on the air.
Yeah,
just say it. Hey, 30 seconds.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, 20 seconds.
There we go. Let's just be sloppy. Yeah. I got no problem with that.
Transparent with the people, the listening. Let me know. It's all on the table.
Texas says, which producer would try to use the radio station in a pickup line at Drake's?
It's a great question.
Well, they all should.
My money's on Process.
Good.
He should.
What else are you leading with?
Let's go out to Augusta.
Cardinals. Satterfield?
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Mitch, tell Strebel who followed you on Twitter last night.
Oh, I forgot to tell Big Boy this.
Yeah, Big Boy would like
kill
this.
Him. It was Mrs. Sosinski.
Really? Q slides his mom?
Yeah.
And James Strebel.
Yeah,
he sent the picture to you. Go ahead. You want to look at it?
Yeah, I do. Hold on a second. Let me see here. That's unexpected. We need to have her on the show.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Coming up tomorrow, the Reds are back in action. 9:10 pregame, 9:40 That's a late one. Thank you, Mitch. Woo. Thank God I don't have to book board ops for that. Thank God we're automating that with the computer. Thank God.
Wow.
Reds and Diamondbacks, 9:10 on Friday. Then on Saturday, 7:40 pregame. All of it right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. What are you boys getting into this evening?
Baseball practice, game.
And then you're back home and that's it?
Yeah, back home.
And everyone's tired, little chicken nuggets for bed, and then it's right off to bed.
Corn dogs.
Corn dogs tonight.
Corn dogs in the air fryer. That's
nice.
10 minutes, they're ready to go. I'll probably have half a sandwich.
Well, that's not very healthy, though. The kids need some nutrition.
Come on. They'll have some veggies with it.
You want some veggies?
A little green bean on, you know, on the side.
A little green bean on the side?
Yeah, I'll just be corn dogs and green beans. Yeah, they'll be excited. They love corn dogs.
Never been the biggest corn dog fan.
I'm not either.
And that's odd. It feels like, I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
We look like corn dogs.
I would eat one once a year at the fair. I'd get one of those big ones and eat it. And there's nothing I could do there.
There's nothing you can do.
I'd get a big corn dog.
You'd stuff it down your
and
face.
Be happy.
Of course you
and
would.
And then I wouldn't eat one the rest of the year.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, you're a Kentucky fan, so you go every day to the fair. You actually go every day. Yeah, it's odd. Kentucky fans.
We'd only go one time.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Well, when I was single in college, we'd go like two or three times.
Oh, the Shinedown concert.
Exactly. You go to the concert, you go to the Budweiser tent.
Oh, the Budweiser tent.
Yeah, you get wild.
Who was the guy who just got hired by Scott? It's Scott Reynolds.
Scott,
right?
Reynolds, yes.
I'm tired of this bleep.
Yeah, in front of Kentucky Kingdom.
Because there is.
Kids were misbehaving.
Well, weren't kids surrounding a police officer? I think that's what
it was.
That's
what it was. He's picking up his kids.
And he's like, I'm tired of this bleep. Yeah. There are a bunch of teens around. They didn't get everyone out of there as quick as possible. That's great.
That was, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Can I hear Brian Hall hiccuping during a David Johnson take? Mitch, you want to play some sound? Wait to the very last minute like we always do.
Yeah.
We've given you Nickelberry. We've given you David Johnson talk. Now I need to hear Brian Hall hiccup during that. I did not hear this live.
When your comment earlier about how you said once he surrounds himself with better athletes that he is going – he's one of those guys that has a high basketball IQ. He's going to adapt his game, and he is going to be an adequate or above adequate facilitator.
Yeah.
Oh, he was losing it at the end. He may have tried to save him at the end.
He did.
He really tried to get in there.
He barreled in.
Hey.
Oh, Brian.
let's see what else.
I can't criticize. I groan all the time, so I have to leave that alone.
Give me the, man. Do you want the Diener? Do you want to give me the Diener?
I haven't heard much of Diener this
no,
week.
No, we haven't. Give me some Diener today.
The copy is written, it's like a cut and paste from the, you know,
from the script.
Shorty Got Low, Low, Low commercial. I go to Kroger. I love Kroger. Go Cards, go Krogering. I've never seen him shaken this much.
Those are all three good.
The go cards. Give me the go cards, go Krogering, because I heard that. It made me happy.
I go to Kroger. I love Kroger. Go cards, go Krogering.
Wow, Blake was saying no.
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 It's the first time he's ever said that to Diener.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
Give me the texter down at the very bottom, Mitch. Go ahead. Let's just play roulette here.
Texter says Drew's afraid because he's smaller than the average monkey. Sure, fine. Say whatever short jokes you want. It's fine.
Smaller than the average monkey.
Apparently, monkeys got loose in Cincinnati.
That's what I saw.
I should have looked up the story, but I didn't.
They were like running around like neighborhoods and stuff.
Great.
Yeah, that's how the next virus starts.
It would start in Cincinnati.
No, that would be. Listen, I love the process. Like, I like Cincinnati. I'm like, why? You've not been.
It's a terrible city.
No, he had a terrible take today
about Cincinnati.
God, no, process. Oh, process is. This is the worst. I told him. I thought it was his worst take he's ever had.
Oh, wow.
He said today, did the process, that if the Carolina Panthers were smart, they'd start Teddy Bridgewater. And then the first month or so into the season, they would then start Sam Darnold, who they just traded a bunch of picks for.
What?
It's the worst take that he's ever had, Mitch. It really is.
He also said,
I couldn't believe that he gave that take because he knows the NFL. He loves the NFL.
He also said Teddy's a slightly better version of Colt McCoy. I know Blank could not have liked that, but Blank didn't battle him on it.
I think Blank was a little...
Give me the blank on Teddy. Give me the blank on Teddy. I want to see how this plays with Strebel. Okay. Go ahead.
Carolina's the first place where people just haven't loved Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Like in Minnesota, they loved him. In New Orleans, they loved him. And in Carolina, part of it is you followed our Cam Newton. You know, so you know that's going to be a tough one to follow.
Did they really love him in New Orleans?
Well, I don't know. There's part of me that actually kind of agrees with Blank there a little bit.
I mean, Minnesota liked him okay. I mean, he went to the playoffs with them.
It's dopey, but I think he's right.
I don't know.
They don't love him. The Panthers don't suck up to Teddy like all the other teams did.
I don't think the Saints did. I think it was like, thank you for what we did.
No, remember,
he went undefeated as a starter.
He was good. No, he was good, but I think love's a strong word.
He danced in the locker room and everything.
Yeah.
He was beloved there. You're wrong about that, actually.
I don't think he was beloved.
They offered to bring him back.
Sure.
But he wanted to go try to be a starter.
And I don't blame him. I think it's a good idea, but I mean... Just Blank just saying, like, everybody everywhere loves Teddy except for Carolina.
Louisville loved him.
Louisville loved him.
The Saints loved him in Minnesota. I think Blank, it's dope. It sounds funny, but I actually think he's right on that.
Okay.
Texas says, did Phil Mickelson lose the man boobs? I mean, listen, he did, but do you want him to? No.
No, of course not. Everyone liked that. It was very endearing. You get, like, hey, Phil Mickelson has man boobs. So do I. Hey.
Texas, boy, I haven't read all this. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Circa 1999, I took a girl on the triple crown of dating. Dinner at O'Charlie's.
Yeah.
We went to go see The Green Mile, which he says not a date movie.
Three hours, yeah.
Man, it's a sad movie.
It's a sad movie, very
You'll
sad movie.
You'll cry during that movie.
Yeah. Good movie, but sad.
And then finished the night at the Golden Nugget, which is also where Locke went to in the middle of the pandemic, maskless.
Yeah, with the Woo Girls. He went with Carolyn and Woo Girls. Like,
find me Diener crushing Locke Golden Nugget sound, maskless. Give me Diener maskless. Diener Locke maskless. Search. I want whatever's in that folder.
I remember that, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to read that one, but it's funny.
Here. All right, I'll read it off air. Okay. The very bottom.
I better not read that one.
No. Especially if you're following up man boot takes.
Texas says, the Masters updates are weird. You guys are screaming, and then some random dude starts whispering. Listen, the reason golf radio play-by-play whispers is they're holding, like, they're walking the course. So they're not in a spot like I am. They're not in a
studio.
They're
not stationary.
Okay? So they're holding like a Comrex unit, like a in the palm of their hand, something that might be as big as, you know, I don't know, like a like an iPad or something, thicker, if you will, okay?
Yeah.
And they'll walk around. So they're not too far from the golfers, but they have to be obviously as quiet as humanly possible.
Sure,
that's
absolutely
what's going on there. But it does sound ridiculous.
Yeah, because
the whispering does sound ridiculous.
They do the excited whisper like, and it went in.
Yeah, at that point they can be louder.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mitch, what did you find? I think we vamped long enough there. Did you find anything?
No, I think I saved a Diener Swipes Lock, and there's just like tons
there's
of
100
those.
Of them.
Oh, yeah, there's 100 of them. Plenty of those. Darn it!
There's 100 of them.
That's a great day during the pandemic when Locke went to the Golden Nugget and didn't wear a mask. And then, my drunk Locke, take a picture!
Remember? He was taking pictures of the walls.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool artwork here, like he was a tourist.
Yeah,
is this an odd place? Like
karaoke?
Yeah, it's just very odd. All right, so the Soccer City's ready to go, are they not?
They are.
All right. Well, let's go. Who are the three people on Soccer City?
Lance McGarvey, then you got Jeff Greer, and Casey Whitmer.
Whitfield!
Whitfield, damn it!